back on the prayer you were doing, prayer and obedience. We started quite a while. Okay, prayer and obedience. At Ellen G. White book from page 67. He talks about prayer doesn't take place of obedience. I wonder if you can, what you make of it, anybody? The title is prayer doesn't take place of obedience.
Well, you must have heard people say, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do, and then they injure themselves. I mean, that's a form of prayer, but it's not God's will at all, you know.
Repeat the question again.
Asking.
Okay.
No, please, no.
Repeat the question.
Are
you asking something for that? No, I was asking to repeat the question again. Not nearly asked.
Come on, finish and then I will ask.
Prayer is not obedience.
The prayer doesn't take the place of obedience.
It's not obedience. Prayer is communication between God and us. It's asking. We ask God to be there. Obedience is do what God tells us to do. That's a different thing. Totally different.
Anybody else want to?
Well, prayer is communication with God, but also it's calling on God for us to have full trust in Him and to be close to Him and to be obedient to Him. So it's so much when we have to consider both sides. So prayer does not take the place of obedience, but prayer is our communication with our God, our trust in our God, and follow closely the guidance God gives us, isn't it? And
prayer does not take place of obedience. So does that mean that you can obey? Doesn't take the place of obedience. So
yes.
Does that mean you can have obedience without prayer?
Well, that is, again, what is prayer? Prayer is our relationship, our talking. And if you're not talking, you're not getting...
No, you have to listen to the question. Well, the answer is prayer does not take the place of obedience. So can you have obedience without prayer?
But that's where I'm talking the way I'm talking. Because what is prayer? Prayer is our communication with God. Unless we know we want to know things, we are talking to God. And God is really then guiding us and answering us. That's the way I am looking at it. And that makes us then be following God's guidance through and through.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
God created us to communicate with Him. But we have sinful nature and we're just running away from God and we don't want to be with Him because of our sin, though God invites us to communicate. So that's a struggle, you know. It's not obedience, it's like, it is essential for us if we want to be spiritually growing, to pray.
Thank you, Regina.
In both ways, we recognize the power of God. We accept the power of God. We pray because we know God will answer, in a positive or in a negative, but for our good. Whereas we obey because we know God is a supreme one He is giving us the orders. He is telling us what to do. They are two different things. There's no way you can have them to be one replace the other. Now, if I have to say the whole conversation we hear all the time, it's very, very easy to realize how people take prayer as being obedience. Oh, I've said my prayer, I can do it. That's not what the Bible says.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Let me read now the author's description. That there are conditions to the fulfillment of God's promises, and prayer can never take the place of duty. If you love me, Christ says, keep my commandments. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, I will manifest myself to him. John chapter 14, verses 24, John chapter 14, verses 15 and 21. Now I look at some of the references to it. So we have 1 John 5, verse 3. Regina, if you want to read, please. 1 John 5, verse 3.
Loving God means keeping His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome.
Yes. 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God. Yes, His commandment is not burdensome. And in it, you get 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Someone you want to read it, please? 1 John chapter 2, verse 5.
But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him.
Yeah. So he didn't mention anything about prayer. Mm. It's mentioned about obedience.
Mm. And then,
you know.
But the way I would also look at it. What is prayer? Prayer is a talk with, we talk to each other and we talk to God and we ask God to guide us, and the communication is vital. That would help me to really keep His word and really to, as the verse say, verify is the love of God, you know, in Him verily is the love of God perfectly. Hereby, you know, we are in Him. Sorry, I've got problem with my glasses today, so if you see me struggling, you know why.
Okay, no worries.
Just about conditions for receiving. So I suppose if we are not obedient, we are not in accordance with the conditions.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have not to be confused between prayer and obedience. Prayer is to obey. We obey, we pray, because God told us to pray. But it cannot replace each other. I think
no, I am not. What I'm looking at, prayer is prayer as the Bible says. But, you know, they work hand in gloves. Because when we pray, because we know, I know where my weakness is. I pray to my God. And I listen to, observe what God is telling me. And follow His guidance. So that I can come closer to my God. I'm not just looking at just words. I'm looking at the journey with God.
Well, let's continue then. So those who bring their petition to God, claiming His promise, while they do not comply with the conditions, insult Jehovah. They bring the name of Christ as their authority for the fulfillment of the promise, but they do not those things that would show faith in Christ and love for him. Nothing, these are very strict words. And it says, if we are disobedient, many are forfeiting the condition of acceptance with the Father. We need to examine closely the deed of trust wherein we approach God. If we are disobedient, we bring to the Lord a nerve to be touched when we haven't fulfilled the condition, what would make it payable to us. We present to God his promises and ask him to fulfill them, when by so doing we would dishonor his name. Then the question is, how do we know actually we are not disobedient? I'm asking the question. How do we know we're not disobedient?
Well, I would say myself, we live in a world where sin is there, but God is our great God who gives us his word, who enlightens us and say, call on me. That's where we pray, and God open our eyes, our understanding, and we follow God's word. And it doesn't mean that we are perfect, but we learn through the journey. As God opened our eyes, as we're traveling through, and we pray to God, to ask God for guidance.
Well, God said, if you're angry, that's him. If you're angry, that is obedient. But God said, don't get angry.
You can get angry, but if you don't go further on, you know, and do your good thing. I think this would be, looking at the God's word and following it, and if you don't follow the God's word, we are disobedient. If you don't this commandment, we're disobedient. If we don't show love, because God is love, we are disobedient. So, yeah, God's word is the frames that shows where you are.
Disobedience is when we know the law, when we know the rule, and we will be.
You see, it's may not be a big thing like one of the main commandments. It might be some little thing the Lord wants you to do. You've got to listen to the still small voice.
So what is the promise then? The promise, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, you shall do what you will. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15, verse 7.
Sorry, can you repeat the scripture?
John 15, verse 7.
Thank you.
So then we have for 1 John 2, 3, and 5. And verse 3, 4, 5, sorry. So that you can read 1 John 2.
1 John 2?
Yeah. 3, 4, 5.
3, 4, and 5. Okay. It says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him.
Can you comment? No comment?
Well, I think there are loads in there. I mean, look at the first verse, and it says... Yeah, but it's just looking at myself, what I'm, you know, I'm seeing. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So it's God is saying, you know, he's given us his commandment for all the greatness that for us and how we should follow, and we would see the difference in our life journey. And whoso keepeth his word in him is the love, whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. So again, that's enlightened to me the great value and the importance of and knowing God and knowing his word and follow the guidance that God gives us in his word through and through.
Okay.
The priority, the first thing is to know the commandment. Then you question yourself, but how do I know the commandment? This is where studying the Bible and studying the word of God comes. We cannot know the commandment by sitting down and just waiting. We have to do our talk. We have to do our share. We have the Bible, we have the word of God. What do we do with it?
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was saying that we can, by being obedient, we can see the fruit that we bring. Like it says, verse 5, God's love continually growing in him, perfecting him more and more. So if we are obedient, we will see that we are becoming more like him and becoming more perfect like he is. That's my view.
Thank you. I will read Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. That you may be justified in your word, and you may overcome when you are judged. If you are unrighteous, demonstrate the righteousness of God. What shall we say? Is God unjust when we seek wrath? Very confusing.
Yeah, Romans book is very confusing, very difficult.
But you have got a question though.
Yeah, questions, answers, questions.
Okay. Said, John declare, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandment. I mean, if we go, the commandment is a study on its own. Because I know for sure I don't keep all the commandments. Maybe I keep minimum rather than maximum. He said that I know him and keep his. He who said that I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But who keepeth his word is verily is the love of God perfected. So that in John 1, 2, 3, and 4 we read. Next section says, we are to believe God, hear and then live out our prayers. We are to believe God. We are to believe God hears and then live out our prayer.
Okay.
You make sense the way I read it, doesn't it? We ought to believe God hears. We ought to believe God hears, and then leave out our prayer.
What verse are you reading?
Pardon?
What book and verse are you reading?
I'm just reading the book of prayer, my language. So I make it, it says, if we don't believe God hears, then we can't give our prayer to God.
Say that again?
If we don't believe God hears us, then we can't leave our prayer to Him. We have to first believe God hears, and then leave our prayer to Him.
Yeah, and because the Bible says to us, God says, call on me and I will answer you. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
Okay.
So it's important to really...
Let me just read that bit. Children and youth, because that's more for the young people also. Children and youth may come to Jesus with their burdens and perplexities and know that He will respect their appeal to Him and give them the very thing they need. Be earnest, be resolute, present the promise of God, and then believe without a doubt. Do not wait to feel special emotion before you think the Lord will answer. Do not mark out a particular way that the Lord must work for you before you believe. Before you believe, you receive the thing you ask of Him. Trust His word. Leave the whole matter in the hands of the Lord with full faith. With your prayer, that your prayer will be honored. The answer will come at the very time and in the very way your Heavenly Father sees it good for you. And leave out your prayers, walk humbly, and keep moving forward. That's a message to young people. Page 123. So, okay, no comment. So.
Just a thought that when they say young, I mean, we normally think of young people, but it could also be people who are young in the faith, I suppose.
Yes, I think it covers that. And I think it covers also this, maybe nowadays we do it more, than it covers also in old days, this need for emotion thing, you know, but it's said there. Do not wait to feel special emotion before you think the Lord will answer. But it doesn't clarify what is this special emotion. Yeah. Something, dancing, shouting. We ought to believe God hears and then leave our prayers to Him. Let's talk about the youth. Talk about some people just pray quietly. Some people get emotional or show or whatever. Different churches. And God is saying, you know, we are not to do this. We don't have to do this to think God will answer. Maybe then it will go the same way with people who do long prayer. You know, we've had complaints about this before. Some people like to pray. Maybe that's the way it's been brought up. You have to respect. But long prayer, short prayer, medium-sized prayer.
But I would look at singers. My understanding for me is God is with us all the time, and we are journeying in a life that we don't know what is around us, what can happen. And God is the great God that can provide us everything, safety, guidance, shelter, the lot.
Okay.
We only see narrowly, but God sees everything, is to have the full trust in Him and to put everything at His feet. and to call on him and to stay close and see the guidance that he gives and the things that happen so that we can be looking at how God is answering our call.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So I will read the last one for today. It's from Adventist Home. It says, pray for grace to resist temptation. Now that's very interesting. In the daily life, you will meet sudden surprises, disappointment and temptation. What says the word? As the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So resist the devil, confirm reliance upon God, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Let him take all of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. So let him take all of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Look unto Jesus at all times and in all places, offering a silent prayer from a sincere heart, that you may know how to do his will. Now, I have a few verses. I'll read this verse and then we'll read the verses preferably. Then when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for you against the enemy. When you are almost ready to yield, to lose patience and self-control, to be ardent and denunciatory, to find fault and accuse, this is the time for you to send to heaven a prayer. Help me, O God, to resist temptation, to put all bitterness and watch and wrath and evil speaking out of my heart. Give me that meekness, that lowliness, that long-suffering and thy love. Bid me not to dishonor my Redeemer, to misinterpret the word and the motive of my wife and my children and my brethren and my sisters in the faith. Help me that I may be kind, beautiful, tender-hearted, forgiving. Help me to be a real husband in my home, to represent the character of Christ to others. That's a lot. To resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. You want to read Ephesians chapter
4, verse 25 to 27. Let me just note it down.
Ephesians
4.
Yeah,
25 to 27. Thanks, will do. Right, Ephesians 4. Verse 25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. That's it.
Yeah. So another set of condition, I don't know what you call it, condition test. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
heard somewhere that when you are angry, you create atmosphere where God cannot do anything.
Mm. True.
And so, yeah.
Because it's like a barrier.
Yeah, and you giving like the last verse is the most reading, that you give the devil as, what's that scaffold? So, yeah, so by being angry, you allow devil to step in, make one step into your heart.
Got a little bit here I've just brought up on the screen with the title Sun Go Down.
Mm-hmm.
It says, here is provided a safeguard against the abuse of righteous indignation. While there should always remain an indignation against sin, laboured resentments are soul-destroying. A fair test of the quality of one's anger is whether one can readily pray for the person against whose wrong act the anger is directed. Wrath or irritation, exasperation, the evil sense of personal resentment into which even justified anger easily turns.
I think there are so much in there, isn't it? Be ye angry and sin not. Because we live in a world where so many things can really distract us, disturb us, and make us very angry. And how people behave when they are angry. So they can do so many bad things that are very hurtful, very harmful to others and to themselves, isn't it? And there is a
great... How do you behave when you are angry?
And that's what God is enlightening us. Be ye angry and sin not, which means that we don't know what's happening in the person's life. We should call on our God to ask him to be... Yeah. I mean, for me, I would say I'll call on God to say, enlighten me so that I can be of help to that very person. Because I only see on the surface, and who knows, my reaction can cause more harm than any good in me telling off and so forth. But how I behave and try to get the person to know that is wrong, whatever is happening, what he's doing, and how he or she be, and how he should put all his trust in God for guidance.
Okay, thank you. Let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 11. And then when we can read 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7. But if I can read Ephesians 6, verse 11.
Yeah. It says, put on every piece of spiritual armor the Lord has given you, so you can stand your ground against the devil's schemes.
Mm. So that's what we are to do. Put on the whole armor of God. Yeah, we can do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7.
By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. That's it?
No, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, also, yes. Also, we have to go on. Yes. Okay, this is going to go on.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse
7, yeah, among all these, yeah.
Our message about Christ is true, as evidenced by what God has done in you. We have weapons of righteousness supplied by God in our right hand and in our left, for attack and for defense.
Yes, my Bible says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Yeah. All is similar.
Mm.
Okay, the last verse is Proverbs 20, verse 22.
The 22 says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord and he will avenge you.
Yes. And you say that sometimes, though. And I do. Just wait for it. See what you get. Chapter Proverbs 15.
Shall I read it?
Yeah, okay.
It says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? What's the other one?
28.
28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pourth out evil things.
Okay. What's the word is it? Proverbs 15. I mean, in my Bible, verse 28 says, the art of the righteous is studying how to answer. The mouth of the wicked for us, for people. I don't know what you all say, Regina.
Mine says similar. The righteous obey answers before they speak, but evil gushes from the mouth of the wicked.
I think there are so much in that verse, you know.
Mm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What we have to take into consideration is that last verse that has been read.
Mm.
Come back on ourselves. How do I answer?
It's impossible, I think, for human beings. It has to be God. Enable.
Practice makes perfect.
To enable us to think about this. Yeah.